The Jerry Doyle Show.
We were talking about one of the headlines of the Oscar coverage last night. Ellen, being Ellen DeGeneres, insults the Oscars crowd, then wins them back with pizza and selfies. And at the end of the article, Dave Nemeth says, which Ellen do you prefer, mean Ellen or nice Ellen? I say funny Ellen because I thought she hit a home run last night. Joining us on the program to talk about the all things Oscar, Anita Finley, author, actress, probably know her from 24, The Young and the Restless. She's a blogger. She's an EpicTimes.com contributor and the author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which spent 16 weeks, number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back.
Jerry, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. What'd you think of Ellen DeGeneres last night?
Well, I always enjoy Ellen, and it's really interesting. I prefer funny Ellen as well. She did say a few things that I thought had some bite. I don't even know if the audience picked up on it because they're so used to her being warm and fuzzy that I don't know that they know how to take it.
Yeah, I loved when she started yelling at the 84-year-old nominee, June Squibb, from the movie Nebraska. That was funny, wasn't it? But a lot of people saying she was being ageist, that she was mocking old people, supposedly being hard of hearing. I thought it was hysterical.
Do they really not get the joke?
That no.
Ellen is trying to, well, here's the joke. Ellen was making fun of a society that is ageist. And when I say society, that's also what's going on in film. That a lot of times you don't realize that people of any age can be funny, can be dramatic, can be fabulous. I mean, look at Philomena with Judi Dench in the lead. The woman who's a former Oscar winner is also 79 years old, and the movie is raking it in at the box office. She's fantastic. And Judy Squibb, 84. So I think she was making fun of the fact that we are ageist in this society. She wasn't making fun of the woman's age.
Yeah, and I thought her line in the beginning about 12 Years a Slave, when she was talking about, well, we've got some possible outcomes tonight. She said, well, we could have 12 Years a Slave win for Best Picture, and they all clapped. And then she said, or you're all racist. And
I was so surprised. Wasn't that surprised that she just called everybody on it?
I know, and I liked it.
Too much of it. Yeah, well, I thought that was great because we have entirely too much of that in this society. Well, if you don't like this, then you must be that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just thought she hit on all cylinders. I love when she said, you know, tonight amongst us, we have all the nominees have a total of 1,400 films to their credits and 6 years of college. So stay in school, kids. Stay in school. I thought there was so much great commentary from her. That a lot of people think, but maybe are afraid to say. And supposedly, she insulted the crowd and that she was surprisingly dark in her opening monologue. And, you know, just I was like, no, I mean, I think that's where kind of like the zeitgeist of what a lot of people think and want to say are.
Well, I think that's a great point, and I think also part of it is that people, like I've said before, people expect Ellen to dance in the aisle with the audience and to be warm and fuzzy and sweet and air and light, and they don't expect or think that her comedy may have a darker edge. I mean, clearly this was so much lighter and warmer and fuzzier than what you got from Seth MacFarlane last year with We Saw Your Boobs, you know.
But
that was also, you see, even that last year was taken the wrong way. I had written an article about that because I said the women who were sort of putting their head in their hands when he was singing that awful song, they were in on the joke. That stuff was pre-taped. He was making sort of a meta joke about how women are objectified in the film industry and that they know it.
Right. I just thought she was, I thought she was just, I'm not sure about the sitting there with the guitar thing. I didn't understand that.
No, I didn't like that either.
I didn't get that one. I did like the when she came out in the Wizard of Oz outfit. I thought Pink just hit a home run singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I thought she was phenomenal. I mean, I thought the show in many years had been disappointed in the production value, not necessarily just the messaging that came from a lot of the acceptance speeches and what was the subtleties. But I just thought last night from an entertainment value standpoint, it didn't drag. I didn't care that it went beyond the 3-hour window. And I thought it just I thought it worked on so many levels.
No, I thought she did well. I thought Pharrell Williams singing Happy, I wanted to jump out of my seat myself and dance along with him. I thought it had its moments, and I agree with you. I thought Pink was amazing, and I was so delighted to see her kind of getting her due from the more mainstream comedia. She's not community rather. She's not punk anymore. It's very interesting, you know,
right.
if people remember that Pink was just really rough and tumble in the way that she started and the kind of stuff she does now. It's just so sophisticated. It's great. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah, she looked good. I mean, her dress looked great. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, it was just, I thought everybody was doing a pretty good job last night. With regard to who won, was there any surprises to you? I mean,
No.
We did on Friday, we did Jerry's Oscar picks and got them all. I mean, everybody, I knew that 12 Years a Slave was going to win Best Picture. It had to because it dealt with slavery. And Hollywood is going to go in that direction. And with regard to Best Actor, I said it's going to go to Matthew McConaughey because, one, he lost a lot of weight. And Hollywood loves to people see them suffer for their craft. But also it dealt with the issue of AIDS. And, I mean, you know, you just take a look at who the nominees were and what the subject matter was. And you look at the groups that get to vote on all of those individual categories and then all get to vote in totality for Best Picture. I mean, it was a pretty easy year to pick who was going to be the winners.
Well, yes, he did give, you know, whatever weirdness was his speech that I particularly didn't care for. But, you know, he certainly gave a wonderful performance. But you could also make the same argument that Choiwetel Ejiofor could have won Best Actor for 12 Years a Slave. Because
right.
certainly they would go toward that. So, but yes, I absolutely agree with you that, you know, the Oscars tend to want to reward what the current zeitgeist is out in the nation.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, that they are not cultural leaders in that way, that they sort of wait to put a toe in the water to see what people will accept at the box office. And then they'll go, yeah, we like
yeah.
that.
We right, yeah.
That's kind of what I see.
You know what was weird about Matt? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to just chime in about one thing that will, I assure you, get little mention. But I was so thrilled that Best Documentary was 20 Feet from Stardom. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it to you and to your listeners because it's a fabulous film about backup singers.
Right.
And what their journey is, and so much of anybody who's a fan of rock and roll, soul, pop, anything in the last 40, 50 years, some of the most amazing tunes, these women are on them, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful, and some places heartbreaking, but uplifting movie. So that was really great. I was glad to see that one.
And isn't it a great title for a lot of what people do in Hollywood? They live
totally.
20 feet from stardom.
Yeah, it's amazing. So many people don't realize that talent is about 20% of it. And there are people out there who are so much more talented than those who go on to make, you know, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million a picture. I mean, it's just, there's an alchemical thing that happens. And this film really delves into that deeply because there's a woman in the film, Lisa Fisher. She's like Patty Austin plus. I mean, her voice is just godly. It's like a freak of nature. She's so good. And
right.
It's so worth watching. But you really do see that there is so much luck and also drive. You know, you really have to have an ego and a personal drive to want to stand out there in front.
Right.
That's the same with politics. It's the same in being the CEO of a company. That is true across the board. And it's an interesting psychology that they talk about in the movie.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but I did made a mental note to see that because I like the title. I like the way that the it all looked and having been in the business, you know, there are, as you point out, there are people that are eminently more talented than I was to get the role that I got. But for a number of reasons, luck, timing, talent, maybe probably last on the list. The stars just happened to line up for me in that one moment. And, there were a couple of things that could have made that audition never happen in the first place. So who knows why it happens, but it does happen. You were talking to Anita. By the way, we're talking with Anita Finley. Dirty Words on Clean Skin is her book, her latest. We're going to talk about at epictimes.com what the Oscars tell us about how society views women. Those $20 million actors that you were talking about, I noticed nobody reached into their pocket to tip the pizza guy. You got Leonardo DiCaprio sitting there making $20 million a pick. You got Sandra Bullock making what, $12, $15, $20 million a pick, supposedly going to make $70 million.
Anything about Sandra Bullock, and I'll tell you why. Because
why?
Whenever there is a natural disaster in this country, she literally writes a check for $1 million.
All right, well, I'm just talking about the pizza guy.
And the person that Ellen was really after was Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein, yeah.
Pony up. So that was
Did he come up with any money? Because the pizza guy, I think
he did.
He,
$200.
Oh, he gave him $200 for three pizzas? I guess, but you're Harvey Weinstein. Maybe 200 per pizza, but we're going to criticize that. I thought the bit was interesting, but it just went on a little bit too long. Here's a question I have for you, Nita, before we get to your piece. I was looking at the Twittersphere and that selfie that they did with Bradley Cooper and Ellen. Now, when Obama got reelected, the first black president in the history of this country gets reelected in 2012. It was retweeted 791,000 times. When the broadcast was over last night, that selfie of those actors was retweeted almost 2 million times. Now, 3 million is the number. I'm trying to figure out what that says or what that means. Are people more interested in entertainment? In laughing and being distracted from the problems maybe and the realities of their own lives than they are the historical reelection of the first black president of the United States?
I don't know that you can compare one with the other. I think that the entertainment value is part of it, but I think also it speaks to the fact that the entertainment industry is a very powerful cultural tool. Whether people want to reject it wholeheartedly because they don't like the kinds of stories that are being told, but whether we know it or not, we are affected on a daily basis by the kind of material that is put out there in terms of how we see the world. And people are addicted to entertainment. And, you know, I take your point. I think that there is something to be said that people do want to be distracted and do want to lose themselves in a world, particularly when they're having difficulties at home.
I had some right-wing neocon publicists send me an email last night to have a guest come on to talk about why Hollywood stars wear foreign designer dresses and what does that say about their, you know, their mindset. And I'm like, really? That's what you got out of the that's what you got out of the broadcast last night? I mean, when I looked at the dress that Lupita Nyong'o was wearing, phenomenal. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous, stunning, right?
Yeah.
I could care less if it was Ralph Cramden or Ralph Lauren or Ralph Chintana. It doesn't matter to me. I just thought she looks flawless.
No, she was stunning. But think about this. This is what the guy is tweeting or writing to you about rather than what Cate Blanchett said in her Oscar acceptance speech, trying to get filmmakers to look at the fact that, you know, women actually can bring box office into your pockets. And why would you not want to make more stories concerning half of the population? And it's interesting because nobody's asking anybody to feel sorry for celebrities. This is not about, I need another job, pal. This is about the fact that, you know, women maybe, or men too, would like to see stories about the Sally Rides of this world, or there are so many heroes out there that we never hear about. Gina Davis has her own Institute for Gender Diversity, and if you look at any cartoon, women are only, or little girls, I should say, are 17%. On the playground, and boys outnumber them to 83% to 17 instead of it being a 50-50 equation. So right. You're going to tell me that doesn't give you a cultural mindset? I think that's more crucial than what dress anybody was wearing.
Yeah, I watched her acceptance speech. I thought she got off on the wrong note by telling people to sit down because they were too old to be standing. So she kind of started on an ageist kind of a joke that I don't think worked.
Weird. I didn't get that one either. No,
I didn't get that either. But she did go on to talk about the earth is round, people. And as you point out in your piece, when you look at women in film, whether it's Gravity or whether it's Philomena, and you point out some others, The Help, Bridesmaids, etc., that there are a lot of women that do bring a lot of box office, bottom line cash to the studios. Is this something that's in a transition? Or has Hollywood been actively rejecting women as leads in A-list features? They have?
Well, listen, Cate Blanchett is one of the top actresses out there. If she's standing up there complaining about it, 20 years ago when Frances McDormand won the Oscar for Fargo, she was basically saying the same thing, and very politely and graciously, while thanking the Academy, said, producers, I beg of you, please turn over a new rock.
Right.
So I think that, you know, now only 5% of pictures are directed by women, and when you do have women directing the movie, you see less hypersexualization and less objectification, and you see films where there are more women in the equation. Now, just by the way, this is not some zero-sum game, you know, women get more, men get nothing. It doesn't work like that. I love boy movies, personally. I'll go see Die Hard till the end of time. I love that stuff. I don't have a problem with that. But that doesn't mean that you can't make a movie like The Help or Bridesmaids or The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy that was hysterical and made about $250 million. The point is, the more John Carters you make that lose a studio $200 million, imagine how many movies you could have made with decent stories that at least feature a woman in there that, you know, is not window dressing. It's not one or the other. Why can't we have both? I think that's what she's saying.
Yeah. I mean, in looking at the movie Gravity, was George Clooney's character really that important to the film? I mean, to pay, I don't know what he got paid on that film, but was that a little bit of an insurance policy for the studios just to make sure? We know Sandra Bullock can deliver the goods, but was that like an insurance policy saying, look, it's Sandra Bullock and George Clooney? Do you think that was their way of saying we better make sure we hedge our bets here?
Gosh, you know, I don't know enough about the background of that particular film except Alfonso Cuarón's, you know, years-long work on it to tell you that. But that's very possible. But certainly Sandra Bullock is a big, big movie star, and she has proven time and time again that she can open a movie. I mean, who would have thunk it that a woman, she looks fantastic, but she's pushing 50, she's sitting in a box or flying out in space for right. 2 hours, and the movie generated $700 million. Can you imagine pitching this picture and thinking right. that anybody would go see it?
Yeah, no, it's a great movie, and she has come along. I did not like her in her early work. I thought she was too mealy-mouthed, too indecisive, but now I think she's found her groove, and certainly the box office is rewarding her for that. Great piece. Thanks, Anita. I got to take a break here. Check out her latest at epictimes.com. What the Oscars tell us about how society views women. Thank you, Anita.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thanks so much, and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Let's do it again. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.